Good evening to you all. Thank you so very much for coming today, much as it rained all since morning up to almost 2. I was not expecting a big number like this. Thank you so much for coming to hear about Christ. Let's pray together as we begin this. Let's pray. Our glorious King, we honor you because you are our God, you are our Maker, you are our everything. Be glorified in your slaves as we stand before your saints to proclaim your word. Thank you for having used my two brothers. I pray that the same grace will be upon me now, so that people will be pointed to Christ, the source of all life and success. In Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen. A quick question as we begin. Our two brothers have really labored well, and I don't know whether you learned something. I've learned something myself from the first speaker and the second speaker. Let me just test you and see whether really you are learning something. Now, the first speaker gave us a very good parable full of a message about the other prodigal son. Now, who's going to tell me, remind me, when he left his father's house and went to that far country, he used all the money the father had given him, and then when he was too broke, he was going up and down looking for jobs. He could not find one. He fell into thugs, and they killed him. Then one of them decided to bring back the corpse. And the father received the corpse and buried him. Where did he bury him? Near his home or outside the fence? Where did he bury him? Just, I need an answer. Okay, one of the thugs, after killing him, carried the body back to the father. Then the father received it. He buried it. Where did he bury it? What do you mean? Okay, guys, another one. What do you mean? The pastor said, look, 15. Okay, where did he bury it? Yes? So, okay, he was not killed, huh? You mean it? Yes, brother? Yes. So you mean he was not killed, yes? So who says that he went back home alive? Let me see up your hand. He went back home alive. Who says no, he went back home dead? Let me see the hand. Okay, let me just read the verse quickly from Luke 15 and then we'll continue from there. Luke 15:24, then you tell me what it means, right? For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. What does that tell you? Yes? He did what? The fact. Wow. Yes. What does that say? Verse 24. His father himself is saying, my son was dead. Yes. That he was dead in his spirit. Who says yes? Let me see up your hand. Oh, yes. Okay, does that mean that in this room now, do we have some corpses? Or we might be having some corpses here? Do you think it can be possible? Yes, obviously. Yes, please. Spiritual corpses. Because, yeah, physically all of us are chewing even sumbusa. Okay? Yeah, but those who have not received Christ, the truth is, I'm not the one saying it, huh? That's the reality. Some here were living dead people. Some might be, I don't know. When I look at your faces, I don't know, but some might still be living dead. And the message came out very well, that the Father is waiting for you. Right? What a message this was. He's waiting for you so that he can also say of you, this my daughter, this my son was dead and is alive again. Okay? I think all of us will be alive by tomorrow morning, right? No, you just go back home and pray. Say, Lord, forgive my sins. Save my life. Have mercy on me. I'm dead spiritually. Give me life. Then the second speaker, because I know some people here are alive both physically and spiritually here in this room. So now, those of you who want to join them, and you might be deciding inside your heart that, no, I want also to ask for mercy from the Lord so that I can also be alive. And I say, okay, when I join this Christian community, many people in this country of ours want to join the Christian community because they believe that once you join it, you start swimming in milk. And every morning you stop using water to wash your face, you wash it with milk. Because of the example that they see in this country, you see this Pastor X, Pastor Z, they drive Lexus, V8, and they change even the V8 like clothes, right? It's good to be a Christian. And you see this other pastor also is in Europe, is in America, in Australia. They just visit us easily like that. I also want to join so that I can also be driving these Lexus. But our brother also rightly comes and tells us, no, that's not the case. When you join, when you come from death into life, you join a community, the Christian family, then battle begins there. Did you follow him well? So it's not that you are coming from mud to start swimming in a pool of milk. Battle. So you start struggling. You fight with principalities and what? Fight with your flesh. All of us are still fighting. And we'll fight until it comes for us. It tells you, do this now. Do this a little bit. Say, no, I'm a Christian. Every Christian here goes through that battle every single day of our lives. Yeah, so it's really not. I remember sometime back here in this church, there was a lady who started coming to worship with us here. I'll never forget this. And yeah, she came the second month. She came, I think, for almost 1 year. And then one day, down here, a sister came and told me, but there's a sister here who's seriously crying. Down there, crying? Well, what's wrong? Only to go there, really, you find the sister in tears. Try to ask her, because other sisters are trying to ask, what's wrong? She's not speaking out. But later, when she spoke out, you know what she said? It's now 1 year since I joined this church, but the Lord has done nothing to me. I come here and I see people in this church look nice. God has appeared to the people here. People look nice. I see them with smiles. But me, it is now 12 months I count them. He has not really appeared to me. Meaning that she joined this church so that God could also. Yes. And that's what the second speaker was telling us. No, that's wrong, you know. If he blesses you, he blesses you. Okay, now, the next question you can ask yourself is, so, if I'm preparing myself to go and cry to the Lord to forgive me and save me so that I join this family, so, you mean I'll be just fighting? Not only that, in this session I want to tell you something else that you need to do as you join the body of Christ. Let's read together from the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm reading from verses 3 down to verse 8.
Romans 12, 3 down to 8, the Bible says, I read from the ESV, says, therefore I, from verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. 5. So in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And this is another phase of a Christian life. It's a very sweet life. We are not there only fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. He also called us for something else. What we are looking at here. Now, before we stream into this text, let me give you some background quickly of this book of Romans. The book of Romans has got two big or major sections. Namely, doctrine, the first part of Romans, that is from chapter 1 to chapter 11, the first chapter, 11 chapters, Paul deals with doctrine, teaching. You see, the first speaker here today told us that you need to come from death to life, go back to the Father who is the Lord Jesus Christ waiting for you, and he will receive you. Now, how do you do that? How does that happen? Doctrine is important. It gives you, it shows you, because in the first part, Paul shows us why we need the gospel. In the first part where he deals with the doctrine, he shows us why we need the gospel. And one of the reasons is that is found in Romans 3:23, that says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us are sinners. So hence we need the gospel. So now, after expounding many doctrines, when you read those first 11 chapters, you'll understand clearly. Moreover, this is a very good book. If you want to also join the family of Christ for your own eternal life, start. Go and pray and start just reading this book slowly. Where you don't understand, ask the brothers and sisters who are already Christians, they will help you. So you'll understand well many things there. Then, the part we are in, from verse chapter 12 to the end, to chapter 16, it's a more practical section. Paul now wants to show how people who put these things in practice, how they can be. And so now we are dealing with a more practical section in the book of Romans. After a brief interlude addressing the implications of the gospel for the people of Israel, that is chapters 1 through 11, 36, Paul concluded this part, the first part of doctrine. He concluded it with several chapters of basic instructions and exhortations that flesh out the practical implications of the gospel in everyday life. So we find here that in chapter 12, verse 1, continuing. Then, the theme of this part here, where we are, chapter 12 here, is that the gospel results in spiritual transformation for God's people. The gospel that he was explaining in the first 11 chapters is showing us how the result of that gospel in spiritual transformation for God's people. So now you see, when you look at verse 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul here is talking about the believer and self, and him or herself. That there we need to respond to the gift of salvation by offering ourselves in worship to God. Then after that, the portion we are in from verse 3 is talking about the believer and service. And today I'm just quickly going to talk about service. That you don't, it does not bring you into his family for you to just, to have what we call what? To have a rest. Someone has eaten lunch, is heavy, they go and to have a nap. So you don't come into the family of Christ so that you can have a nap, come and enjoy yourself. So there is service, and this is what I want to present to you just quickly within a few minutes, and then we leave this place. Yeah, so if what is spoken in verses 1 and 2, that is the believer and self and him or herself, if what is spoken there has truly happened to you. So he said, just therefore, I urge you, I beg you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. The Father has already received you. He has accepted you. You are back home. Now, you need to offer your body, your life as living sacrifice to the Lord. By doing what? You offer your body by not conforming to the pattern of this world, but by being transformed by the newing of your mind. So now, if that has happened into your life, then this other thing that we are going to look at, automatically, it has to be true with you. So if that has happened, then two realities. If you come from a far country back home, the Father received you, you are back in the family of Christ now, and you have sacrificed your life, or your life is a living sacrifice to God every day, then two realities have to, by default, happen into your life. If it's not happening, then put the question mark. Put the question mark. Are you a baby still growing, or you are not part of the family? The two realities are, one, that we find it in verse 3, which I call a sober opinion of yourself. And for Paul, before he told people about the service he wants them to render to God through the brethren, he begins by verse 3, that you need to have a sober opinion of yourself. And he says this in verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So Paul introduces the faithful service with an important preface. And he says, as I say to everyone among you now, as you sit here this evening, what am I best on to tell you this? That's Paul is telling his hearers. I'm telling this to you by the grace given to me. This is the grace. By grace he was an apostle. By grace he has the gift he had. By the grace at least he could speak and some people could hear. Yeah, so through that grace he's saying not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. In short, he's just saying you need to put aside pride, because pride is a disease that is terrible, a virus that eats up people, whether Christians or not. And he is talking to these who are already Christians, that you need to put that pride aside. It is part and parcel of
our sinful nature, pride. You think highly of yourself. Avoid fight. If you need to fight against pride and you want to shed blood, do go ahead and do it. Fight pride and shed blood if you can. So fight it, the spirit of having too great an opinion of yourself. Or, as some commentator puts it, putting too high evaluation upon our wrong judgments, abilities, persons, and performances. If I do not preach there, if I don't sing, by the way, next Friday I'm not going for choir practice. But they rely on me. If I don't do this, if I don't mop that church, you see? So you think of yourself as someone very important. Paul is saying, this should not be spoken of you. Put it aside. So, putting, okay, too high an evaluation upon your own judgment abilities and whatever who you are. He says, instead of thinking highly, think soberly of yourself. Think soberly of yourself. That is, we must have a low and modest opinion of ourselves. We are nothing. We are clay. I hear in some people when you do something, you preach, you do something, some kind, oh, thank you about that. Say, thank you too. Thank you to what? It's not you. Render all the glory back to the one who energizes us to do whatever we do, right? Yeah, so don't just receive those. Yeah, thank you. What did you do? Yeah, after having that, because this verse 3 is now bring us into verse 4, 5, and down. So then now, after saying that you need to approach everything with a sober, modest opinion about yourself. Don't look at your brethren as your inferiors, but just be sober. And then now it comes to verse 4 and says, just as each of us as one body with many members. Now, down here he's talking about spiritual gifts. And he begins with an illustration of the body. What a good illustration this is. He says, just as all of us have each of a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, you see, now he brings the illustration, then he comes and applies it with Christ. So in Christ, that's how we are, in verse 5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. Yeah, so all the saints make one body in Christ. The head, Christ who is the head of the body, and the center of the unity of all his saints. The center is Christ. The center is not the pastor. The center is not you because of your gifts. You are good at doing this, so you want to be the center in the church. No, the center is Christ. And all the rest of us, because he is the head, we are the body part. I remember a good illustration when I was young. Okay, these days, even if I bruise myself, I don't cry. But when I was young, even all of you guys, you injure yourself and you cry, you wonder. You've been playing alone, you cut yourself with a razor blade and you are crying. But you see, the first thing when you bruise yourself, or maybe you are walking and you hit on a stone and maybe it starts bleeding there. The first reaction you'll see it is the mouth. And ask yourself, have you hit your mouth anywhere? No. The man just like to see this illustration is so powerful. Then the toe is bleeding. And then I start crying. This is what I was doing when I was still young. I start crying. As I continue crying, there's just a few means. You see these two guys joining their friend or their brother, and they join him.
Because remember, this one did not stop at the after there's you bruise yourself and you start crying. So he's crying. Remember, he's not bleeding. The toe down there is bleeding. So he's crying, and this joint, they also start crying. Give it just 1 or 2 minutes to this guy who is joint. He also starts crying. Just give it a minute. This guy will do something here. You see, he's doing both there and here. He's doing both there and here. Amazing. Friends, it's amazing. So much as we fight, so don't fear to join us in this camp, because we enjoy ourselves as we serve Christ together as one body. So another commentator says that believers lie not in the world as a confused, disorderly heap, but are organized and knit together as they are united to one common head and actuated and animated by one common spirit. Yeah, who has got a sweater? You know, some people know how to knit sweaters. You know, for a sweater to come up like that one, you know, they do some work of knitting these threads together, right? Just like this one into another one, and then it comes up into such a sweater. So that's what this commentator is saying. That's what God exactly does with his people. Those who had gone far away in a far country, and they were dead there in their sins. But by the grace of God, Paul is talking more about this grace here. It's all by grace. But let me go back home. What am I doing here? My dad is rich. My dad has everything. I don't need to eat with pigs. Why are you still eating with pigs? You don't need to. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm smart. I bathed this morning. Even I smeared that nice perfume. When I pass near people, they smell it. But you are still eating with pigs. You are eating with pigs, and you are not supposed to. So it's this grace, same grace, that will bring you from eating with pigs back home, and dad is ready to receive you, right? He is ever ready. Trust me. So when you come to him, you rejoin the family, or you join the family, then immediately he meets you together with others, and you continue laboring together. So it is very beautiful to serve the Lord. It's very, very beautiful. Unfortunately, some Christians, if they are really Christians, then they are still too young, they need to grow. Or if they are not Christians, I don't know, they might not be. Because some Christians tend to think that whichever service they render in the church or wherever, they are helping these brethren, they are helping the pastors and the deacons. Not knowing that the service you do, you are doing it for God. And not knowing that God will reward everything you do for him. Am I speaking the truth? He will reward you. By the way, salvation that you receive by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ just gives you a green card to heaven. Period. Your crown, your reward comes from what you do for Christ. So don't be dormant. Okay? Don't be dormant. There are many Christians in this country. You ask them, what is your church? I say, I have like 7. I have like 7. Yes, this Sunday I go there, the other Sunday I go there. Where do you serve? Can you serve among all these 7 churches? That means they don't serve. Another one will tell you, COVID-19 came with many good things. It taught me how to follow worship services online. So they keep home. At home you cannot serve. Come and be together with other saints and serve the Lord together. Again, let me remind you, those of you who are already Christians, you're already part of the family. It's even a privilege
It's even a privilege to serve the great king. I've come across people in this country, some friends, some even my former students, I taught in Barara Gusheni there, who are working in State House, Nakasero. And when you're talking with them, they just feel proud of saying, teacher, you know, I work in the State House. Because that's the biggest house, the office of the president. Now, if someone is proud of working for the president, who tomorrow will die like us, what about you, who have been given the privilege to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who owns everything, the one who, when he brought COVID-19 here, and you failed to learn a lesson, then you will never learn a lesson. I could walk on the streets of this big city that is crowded, and you find nobody there. Very few people, traffic police. Hey, who are you? I'm going to the bank. Hey, do you have permission? So something like, but then people left their businesses there. You know it very well. They were hiding from home. You know millions of dollars they left in those businesses. They don't care whether people come back and break in the night. But they're hiding in their houses for a minus, very small virus like me that you cannot see with your eyes. And God proved to us, showed us that time will come when we'll leave everything here below. What a privilege for you and me to serve the great King. Serve the brothers and sisters. If the pastors are a bit forgetting about you, go and engage them. Don't be warming chairs. Go and ask them, Pastor, I feel I want to. And Paul here is talking and he gives us a number of spiritual gifts. I don't have time, it's not for this conference, to go through those spiritual gifts. But they're just there. And again, a message he's giving to us is that these gifts are not the same. They will never be the same. Some have big gifts, others have small gifts. But okay, if we go quickly as I say, I end now. Give me like 2-3 minutes and I wrap up. Let's check quickly as we end with 1 Corinthians 12, and you see now 12 from verse 5. Listen to this from verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 4. It says this quickly as we leave this place. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Did you hear that? Different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Did you hear those words? He works all of them in all men. Verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Listen to those words. To one there is given through the Spirit, the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge. But I mean, so it continues down there up to, we jump quickly to verse 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Who decides which gifts you want to get? The Spirit, not you. So then he continues saying here, verse 12. So the body is a unit. You hear the same language, eh? From Romans, we find it even in 1 Corinthians. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, we have Christians who are tall and are short and fat and small, but we are one body, okay? And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. 14. Now the body is not made up of one part. Okay, if you continue down there, he will continue reasoning with you that some parts are small. Yes, can you compare this eye with this head? No, you can't compare this even with this foot. Some parts are small, others are big. But down there he says, the big part should not undermine the small part.
Because much as it's small, it plays a big, big role for the advancement of this body. I ride a motorbike. Even from here, I'll be riding it. I remember I was coming from home down here, not yesterday or not today, some day last week. And as I'm riding, sometimes this helmet, you know, you feel bugumu, some heat. So I want to put this thing up here. So as I do that, just this insect that comes and enters here, and then it urinates there. You see, if it does not urinate, you don't feel pain. But I hear it urinate. So you see, now the whole body was at stake. Why? Because it was really painful. And I was trying to now. Remember, I need to hold with. Now I want to, you know. I had to do what? To park on the side. Otherwise, the whole body would be in trouble. Am I right? Yet they are small. So if you are in any church, you are part. Don't neglect yourself. Don't despise yourself. And those who are big say, oh, I wish I was Pastor Big, Pastor Dave. Oh, you see people when they stand there preach. I wish that word. And maybe you even go and fast. You start asking God, give me that gift. Give me that gift. Please serve the Lord in the gift that He has given you. There's no small gift. These who come and move to this church, they do a bigger and greater work. And the Spirit will reward them for that. Again, I end by saying, remove from your mind from today that whatever you do in the church or in the body, you are helping some members. You are not really. You are helping yourself because you'll be rewarded for that. Serve the Lord. We don't only fight, but we work also together as a body to serve the same King who's about to come. It's really about if He delays to come for us together, so that He takes us into the air, He will come for me alone, maybe tomorrow, next week, or next year, He will come for you alone. When they call us and say, oh, this sister has gone to be with the Lord, or this brother, that's all for you. He has come for you. Can we pray together? We give you glory, Jesus. Thank you for these messages, showing us how we were dead in our trespasses, far from you. But some of us here, Lord, received grace. That grace brought us, put some sense in our minds and said, no, let's go back to the Father. And they came and you received them. Lord, thank you for those. Thank you. Thank you. Now we pray for those of us here who are still in those far countries and they are still eating with pigs. Much as they drug themselves, they eat with pigs. Lord, have mercy upon them through this mini conference to draw them to yourself. Lord, also give us strength through your Holy Spirit as we continue fighting this fight every day in our spiritual walk. Also help us to come together as one body and serve you and serve one another in love without seeking highly of ourselves. Instead, we should be sober and think soberly about ourselves so that we all serve you in humility. Thank you for this conference, Lord. Thank you for our brothers and sisters who have put it together. May you bless them, O Lord, I pray. Bless these who have come. Even though it rained, they came to hear from you. Bless us all together. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.